Saints, if you were here for a few weeks prior to Christmas, you'll recall that we looked at some of the things that the Old Testament that are written in the Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Some of you weren't here with us, but that was what we were doing in the season of Advent this year, looking at some things in the Old Testament that were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. Psalm 23, I guess maybe kind of want to cap off that little series with Psalm 23, because this psalm is so full of Jesus, I hardly even knew where to start thinking. Maybe you want to have, a lot of you just have it up here. I know you have Psalm 23 up here, but maybe you want to have it open in front of you anyway. You can see Jesus as the speaker in this psalm. Here in the pattern of his ancestor, King David. It's the Psalm of David. You know David. You know the trials that he endured between running away from Saul and his wars against the Philistines and conflict in his own family, being pursued out of Jerusalem by his son, and then his longing to make a place for the Ark of the Covenant. David was a man of many hardships and struggles, and I think probably because of that, very few men have ever prayed like David prayed. Very few men have ever praised God like David praised him. Very few men have ever trusted in God with the trust that David placed in him. There is one person who did, and that is David's more perfect son. Of course, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus fulfilled all of David's good graces and good qualities without any of his sins. And there's a curious thing, I think it's three times, if I'm not mistaken, at least I think it's three times in the New Testament, in the teaching of the apostles, where you see them quote a psalm, and then they say, "Now you thought David was writing about himself, but in fact the Spirit of God was upon David, and really what he was talking about, really this scripture is about the one who was the one who God promised that would come from his line." Okay, so naturally that's Jesus. In the days of our Lord's time on earth, he prayed like no man ever prayed. Okay, he depended on God the Father like no man ever did. He complied with the will of God like no one ever has. And he placed his full confidence in his Father's protection and presence all the days of his life. And lastly, he knew that the Father would accept him and bless him forevermore when all is said and done. Okay, so you know, you thought Psalm 23 was about David. Well, let's look it over again. Consider the life of Jesus. What do we see? Well, first we see knowledge that the Lord is going to provide for me. Okay, I know the Lord is going to provide for me. I shall not want. Okay, I shall have no lack. Now, as far as we know, Jesus never owned a house. Jesus was never a rich man. Right? What did he say? Foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down his head. Okay? Consider, dear friends, you're in different kinds of life circumstances, but consider and see with the eyes of your heart what trust there is that the Lord will provide. Okay? I shall not be in want. I shall not want. Don't you think that the very great majority of our wants, ultimately, are things that are not, strictly speaking, necessary for life and godliness? Aren't most of the things we want really just extraneous things? Isn't it true that when we have anxiety about things and about creature comforts and about whatever the future may hold, aren't we departing from the sentiment that's here in this psalm, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know that the Lord is going to provide for me. Blessed be the Lord. Honestly, Christians, he has provided us with much more than we truly need. And if we should ever go without, and you don't know what the future holds, but if you should ever go without, let us be prepared to say, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be his name. Okay? Now, Jesus is that to perfection. He was, like every other man, born without a single possession. He died without a single possession. Okay, what did he go up Calvary's Mount with? Well, the clothes on his back. And even that was taken away from him. Okay, he died with nothing. But all things are his, because the Father has given all things to him. And if you belong to Christ, the scripture says, all things are yours. Okay, 1 Corinthians says that. And never forget it, Christians. All things are yours. I shall not want. Amen?
Amen.
The next thing we see is, it's the next three lines, it's rest and refreshment. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Okay, God the Father provides a safe haven. That's what Danielle pointed out from the scriptures. My peace I give you. Okay, he provides us peace. Here with the Lord Jesus, enemies cannot reach me. The shepherd is, he is watching for the wolves. He is keeping them at bay. My business is to lie down. My business is to eat the grass. It's to drink from the stream. Okay, it's to rest in the sun and be restored. He'll do the watching. Don't lose sight of that truth either, dear friends. Remember when we were studying Psalm 119, I think it's verse 68. You are good, and you do good. Okay, the Lord is good and does good. What do we mean when we say that God is good? It's that he delights to bless. Okay, God is love. God is agape. That means that God delights to do what is for the benefit of his little ones, of his beloved ones. God does not make life, sometimes Christians, we're trying to help each other out by saying, you know that God is in the negative things too, right? You know that God is in the difficulties of life. And sometimes we get so focused on the difficult and the negative things, don't forget, God is, using those for good too. Sometimes we're all about the negative and we focus on those and try to remember that God is in them, that when there is just good and rest and blessing, we almost feel like, well, wait a minute. We sort of stop looking for God. We almost feel guilty about enjoying the rest and the refreshment, okay? Don't feel guilty about receiving the good from God. He is good, and he delights in doing good. Okay? He restores my soul. Mm-hmm. Do you know why God, for example, why did God appoint a Sabbath day? For man. Okay, for man, right, for rest. It's to restore weary souls, the weary souls of his people. We have to make room in our schedule for rest, okay? For times of refreshment for our souls. They are a gift from God. And, sometimes you need to plan for them. You need to, when you have a day off, don't fill your day off with 20 errands around town and running around and chores and so on. Okay, that's not, okay? Just because you're not in the office or wherever doesn't mean that's rest if you're running around town, okay? Plan for quiet time. Plan for restoration for your soul. But God's, obviously, God's refreshing doesn't just take place on a day, on a weekday, a day of the week, okay? It occurs whenever you take time out to pray, whenever you take time out to meditate on the Word of God. Consider Jesus again. Okay, like I said, the psalm is, it's full of Jesus. Consider Jesus getting away to go pray by himself, right? Taking the disciples away from their ministry to go rest. Just just to be together and clear their heads and maybe get some thinking done. Okay, just stop for a little bit. It is a gift from God. Don't neglect this. Okay, and I know that if I am spending my time to be refreshed by Him, I know that He is overseeing me. The Scripture says that the one who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. Okay, tomorrow will come when tomorrow comes. And, you know, Jesus says, let tomorrow take care of itself. It has enough worries of its own. Let the Lord restore you. Okay, and this requires a lifestyle change, I think, for most of us. You have just got to stop and let the Lord refresh you. The next thing is, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Okay, the righteousness, of course, is the key word. He's not leading me in just any old path. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Okay, life is not just sitting still, is it? Of course, it is a journey, right? And not every path is a good path. So I need someone to lead me. I need a guide. Because, as I said, not every path is a good path. The way of the transgressor is hard. Right? That's what the Proverbs say. The way of the transgressor is hard. If your life is very hard, perhaps it's because you're not walking in the paths of righteousness. You're not being led in the paths of righteousness by the Lord Jesus. Okay? In the way of righteousness, there is life. That's the proverb. The Lord is my guide. The Lord is my teacher. He instructs me in wisdom and in righteousness and in straight paths. Okay, now again, perfectly so in the case of Jesus. Okay, didn't Jesus grow up before God as a tender sprout, right? Didn't the Lord Jesus grow in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and men? Okay, God led him in the paths of righteousness. In fact, Isaiah said something about him, that the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. He's given me the ear. He's opened my ear to hear as the learned, so that I may know how to speak a word in season to the weary. Okay, God awakens me morning by morning, and He teaches me. So Jesus said something that we read in the Gospel of John. Jesus would say things like, the Son can do nothing of Himself. He can only do what the Father shows Him, right? So the Father is the leader of the Son, okay? The Son can only do what He sees the Father do. He said, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what to say and what to speak, and I know that His command is everlasting life. Okay, so we see obedience. We see compliance. Okay, we see the Lord Jesus allowing Himself to be led by the Father. The shepherd, the good shepherd leads, and the good sheep follow Him down the way that He leads them. They trust Him. Okay, and it's to the Father's glory, friends, that when we hear, we obey the things that we hear. Okay, when the Lord says, this is the way, I want you to walk in it, then don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Okay, do as He says. If you don't, as Edwina pointed out, okay, if you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord said. Okay, if you're not obeying the Lord's commandments, okay, if you're refusing to do as He says, you're straying off the path. Okay, look at the Lord's goodwill for us again in the psalm. Doesn't He provide pasture? Doesn't He provide water? Doesn't He provide rest? If you don't go, you know what's at the other end of the path? More pasture, more water, and more rest. But you have to follow Him down the path, okay? And if you are, you know, consider where you have come this year. Where have you resisted the Lord this year and refused or neglected to do the things that He's commanded you to do? Do you know who that hurts? Just you. Okay, and well, it makes the other sheep anxious too, doesn't it? It makes other sheep jittery when one of the sheep is being rebellious and won't go. Okay, Jesus never refused to do what the Father directed. Okay, and so that leads us to the next thing. Verse 4, it's absolute confidence in the Lord. Okay, though I walk through the valley, even of the shadow of death, okay, even then I am not going to fear harm, because I know You, the Almighty Shepherd, You're with me. You're comforting me with Your rod and Your staff. So you see that it's like the shepherd's hook, you know, the shepherd keeps the sheep close, and He also prods him forward, you know, down the path. Okay, you calm me in whatever circumstances. I stop trembling. You make my footsteps firm and confident because I know you are there. And so we see Jesus again saying, Father, not my will be done, but thine. Right? If there's only one way for this cup to pass from me, and that's that I drink it. Okay, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, okay, thy will be done. I know you're with me. When did you fear this last year? What were you afraid of? What anxieties pursued you this year? Some people are more inclined to worry and anxiety than others, but fretfulness is not Christ-likeness, is it? Okay, and it doesn't matter the circumstances, whether they're little things or big things, even when death is a threat. Okay, you see, many occasions in David's life, he was on the run for his life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I still will not fear. What about the Lord Jesus? He had enemies who he knew were plotting to take his life. Was he afraid? Okay, there's Paul the Apostle too, specifically says, on his way up to Jerusalem, he's telling the elders in Ephesus, I'm going up to Jerusalem and I don't know what's going to happen to me there. All I know is that the Spirit keeps telling me that chains and tribulation await me there. Okay, how it's going to work out, I don't know, but I know that much. The Spirit keeps telling me that. However, none of these things move me, and nor do I count my life dear to me, just so that I may finish my race with joy. Okay, if you have anxiety about the future, about whatever might happen, well, following that example, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I do know there's trouble ahead. However, none of these things move me. I just want to finish my race with joy. Okay, if you are afraid of what's coming, get back to Psalm 23. Okay, even with enemies nearby, there's trust in God. There's thankfulness for the abundance of blessing. Look, there's even, verse 5, there's even eating and drinking and health and peace in the presence of my enemies. Okay, the church has enemies. America has enemies. There are bad people lurking in your neighborhood and mine. Okay, you have enemies. This is not paradise yet, is it? Okay, but the Lord of hosts, the scripture says, will pasture his flock, feed his flock like a shepherd, in the midst of the enemies, okay? He will gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the ones with young, okay? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. They're going to pursue me, okay? God's goodness, God's loving kindness are going to pursue me all the days of my life because the Lord is my shepherd, okay? And the psalm closes like this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, David is saying, as for me, with all of this promise to me, and all of these things already having been given to me, I will abide in him. Okay, I will dwell in that. Literally, okay, English version says forever. Literally what it says is, for the length of my days. Okay, I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the length of my days. Why would I depart from the house of the Lord? This is where the blessing is. Okay, why would I go away from here? People usually read that last line as being along the lines of, I know God is going to take me to heaven someday, right? Because of the word forever. I'm thinking about eternal life. Really what it's saying, it's better to see David committing himself to remain near to the Lord in this life. He's saying, I will. And that's how it is in another psalm. This one thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the Lord's beauty, to inquire in his temple. Okay, for the length of my days, be they many or few, I will worship, I will praise, I will sing, I will come before him. Okay, think about Jesus again. Little boy Jesus, don't you know I had to be in my Father's house? That's where he's going to be. That's where I want to be. Christians, if only more Christians were of that state of mind, okay? If when people say they can't make it because of this, that, or the other thing, or they're just not feeling up to it, especially if you say, well, I just didn't feel up to it today, do you know that is when you're going to get the biggest blessing, when you go, okay? He restores my soul. right? You need your soul restored. When your soul is downcast, that is the worst time to avoid coming to church. That's when you need to go. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. I will yet praise him. I long to go with the multitude to the house of God with a voice of singing and joy. Okay, don't say, well, I can worship the Lord on my own. Well, of course you can worship the Lord on your own. But the house of the Lord isn't made for one. Okay, the house of the Lord is made for a multitude. It's big enough for a multitude. Love, the commandment that the Lord Jesus gave us. Okay, love is not something you can do in isolation, is it? Love requires others. It requires a multitude. Since the Lord does all this for me, I'm going to abide in his house. I'm going to abide in the congregation. I'm going to join my voice to the great chorus. Well, God is good. He is truly good to us, isn't he? Whenever we don't feel his goodness, okay, if you're not feeling his goodness, it probably is because we're not being sheep of the sort of sheep that David was and that Jesus was. Okay, he trusted in God with all his heart. He rested in God. Okay, the green pastures, the still waters, the eating and drinking in the presence of my enemy. Okay, he did the will of God. He obeyed. He walked the path that God marked out for him, and God vindicated him. Okay, God glorified him. Told you the psalm was full of Jesus. Now Jesus has fulfilled this psalm in a whole other way. Now he's the good shepherd, right? And he was a sheep. Now he's the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, right? He's Jehovah, isn't he? Okay, so it's fulfilled. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. Okay, that verse is now fulfilled in him. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel, right? I will not fear because you are with me. Okay, your Jesus' rod and staff comfort me. He has learned to experience life as a sheep. Okay, he now will not lead me any place that he himself didn't go. He is not going to ask me to face any enemies that he has not already conquered. He is not asking me to make any greater sacrifice than he himself has already made. He promises to share with me all of the blessings from above that he received. Okay, the Father sent you, Lord Jesus. Now you send me. The Father led you. Now you will lead me. You promised to go with me even unto the end of the age. The Lord Jesus is our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. Okay, what kind of sheep are we going to be in the year ahead? You had successes last year. You had failures last year. Let's shoot for more successes and fewer failures. Trust in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Don't be an unruly sheep. Don't be a jittery sheep. Don't be a suspicious sheep. Don't be a wandering sheep. Okay, let's be thankful. Let's be compliant. And let's put our confidence in the Lord God for the year to come. All right, let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, once again for your precious word. For the wonderful Good Shepherd that you have put over us, the Lord Jesus himself, having learned what it is to trust and obey. Lord Jesus, teach us to do the same. Help us to follow you along the way. You have said you are the way. You have shown us the way to the Father. Let us follow you. Give us your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and give us the wisdom we need to meet all of the challenges of the year ahead. Let us find rest in you and rejoice in the salvation that is to come. Father, bless this little church family for your name's sake, we pray. Amen.